According to the YouTube video, did you know 2014, 150 million people will be born this year alone, and they are being born into a data-driven society. What does that mean for 21st century education? What are our kids going to have to know to be successful in the world? Tony Wagner highlights 7 critical skills that matter most. 1, critical thinking. 2, collaborating across the network. 3, agility and adaptability. 4, initiative and entrepreneurship. 5, effective oral and written communication. 6, accessing and analyzing information. And 7, curiosity and imagination. Those are the skills that our students are going to have in order to be successful in years to come. What does that mean for our classroom? What is it going to look like? It's probably going to be messy. Students are going to have to be self-evolving. Educators are going to have to be self-evolving. According to Grant Lichtman, we as educators are going to have to prepare our students for their future, not our past. We're going to be building and manipulating things. We're going to be researching and asking the right questions. We're going to have to teach our students to think. How is my school doing with this? Probably like most other schools. We are so test-oriented and test-driven. How are we going to get out of that mold? The most important part of moving forward in the 21st century is having an effective leader. From this article, The Effective Principal, the principal has to focus on instruction, not on building, management, or other administrative duties. Now, I know that's better said than done. My principal is truly trying to do these things and be there for our teachers. This article states 5 things that were central to effective school leadership. Shaping a vision. That is something that we have just currently revamped at Crockett County High School. We are now part of the No Excuses University and Network. We are the very first high school in the state of Tennessee. And the reason why we chose to do this is because all of our elementary schools are currently members. And we feel that this is a great thing that our kids see from kindergarten to 12th grade. No Excuses University originated in California. There are several schools in California that are part of the network, several schools in Texas, and then it's pretty much scattered out through the rest of the United States. There were 6 of us that went to a conference this summer, and we felt after the conference and after meeting Mr. Damon Lopez that this is something that we would like to implement in our high school. Our new motto: we believe that every student deserves to be educated in a way that prepares them for college or a career of their choice. There are no excuses. We do not give our students excuses. Do not give me "you can't." You can and you will. We want every student to be prepared for what's coming after high school. We actually had a night after Crockett comes college. It was at a football game. We want our students to know that we believe in them and they can and will achieve these things. Creating a climate that's hospitable to education. That is something that I think that we actually do a pretty good job of. We could do better with a parent involvement organization. We're going to try to get one of those implemented at the high school. We are the only high school in the county, so a lot of activity and community relations does come through the high school. A lot of people use our building for different things, so we are very lenient in that aspect. Also, a professional environment. We have to respect the opinions of our peers and seek out others for help and feedback when needed. Right now, currently, I teach dual enrollment biology, and the Bible history teacher came and said, you know, I would really like to pick an article and have us analyze it in the biology terms, in the science terms, and biblical aspect of it. And I was like, that is a great idea. Let's do that. So we've actually contacted Dr. Ball out of Batesville, Mississippi, that wrote an article for a medical journal several years back on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we're looking at it in the biblical terms as well as biological terms. And he analyzes both in the article. And we're really going to dive in and analyze this work. I'm super excited for my students to be a part of this and to kind of look at different aspects and to analyze text and to pick out the important information biblically and scientifically. Also, another thing that an effective leader has to do is cultivate leadership in others. We have to spread the leadership around. All of our assistant principals, we have two assistant and one vice. They are focused more on discipline, athletics, and attendance. My principal tends to focus more on instruction and data. The librarian has actually, he's pulled her in to work more with ELA and to look at analyzing common assessment, look at lesson structure and pacing, and how all these things are aligned to our new state standards. Up until this year, I have always been in the classroom. I've been in the classroom for 12 years. And this year, I'm only teaching dual enrollment biology. But my other duties throughout the day have changed. I'll be working with the math, the science, and history department, analyzing common assessment, look at lesson structure and pacing. I do evaluations and walkthroughs, and I am the testing coordinator for the school. So my principal has allowed myself, the librarian, and delegated different things to help him throughout the day. And so far, I think it has worked very well for our teachers. They have somebody else that they can come to for questions. Hey, what do you think about that? And they've got another set of ears and eyes to come in their classroom and to help them out. So that is something that we are currently doing. For improving instruction, most veteran teachers want to be left alone. But a good, effective leader provides new strategies. After watching, like I said, all these videos and reading these articles, on February the 12th, we have a professional development day, and I really would like to show a lot of this stuff to our faculty. And I've asked my principal, and he said, sure, that sounds wonderful. And to let them know what the 21st century classroom is going to have to look like, not what we want it to look like, but what it's going to have to look like in order for our students to succeed. The last thing is managing people, data, and processes. We have to hire and retain the best teachers. We have to. And these are the teachers that get to know our students. These are the teachers that have wonderful relationships with students. And students want to learn from them because they have that mutual respect with each other. Students will learn from teachers they like. Now, you don't have to be their best friend, but you have to be approachable, and you have to build those relationships with students in order for them to ever get anything from you. How are we going to improve? We have got to look at another way for students to learn. We have got to have, not everything's multiple choice. Our students are going to have to search out information. They're going to have to ask the important questions. Even though our school scores were really good this past year, we're currently looking to revamp our schedule so our students have more opportunity to take upper-level math and science classes before they graduate high school. After viewing some of the videos and after sharing with the faculty, I want to know their perspective. We cannot be satisfied in being stagnant in our profession. We have to strive to continue change and do what's best for our students. Our librarian is currently looking at doing maker spaces. She's tired of the library just being a place to check out books. She's hoping to introduce iLab, where some of the students come in and build different things. Maker spaces are community centers with tools. They combine manufacturing equipment, community, and education to help students do designs and prototypes and create works. Another thing that we're trying is Plickers. It's actually a free app on your phone, and it's a website. We do not allow our students to bring digital devices to school. So Plickers is something, it gives every kid a barcode, and they can turn it to whether it's A, B, C, D, kind of turn it different ways. Then the teacher takes their phone and scans the room, and you can see what your students' responses are. So it's another way to kind of get that quick formative assessment without students have devices if that is the issue at your school. So that's something that we've done it once, we've showed our faculty, and now we're waiting to see how it works in their classroom. I'm going to end with this great quote that I saw from all the articles that we read from John Dewey. If we teach today as we taught yesterday, we rob our children of tomorrow.